right, if you will, look with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. The title of this message is simply Gilgal. G-I-L-G-A-L. There are many times that we read certain portions of Scripture quickly, read some of these names, and assume that there's not much importance to them, but it's only as we delve into them a little bit that we notice their importance. And in Joshua chapter 4, when the Lord was pleased to bring the children of Israel across the Jordan River, you can see in verse 19, they came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. You remember the first month was the month of the Passover, and today was the time when the sheep were to be set apart to be observed, and then 4 days later, Passover, the 14th. All of this is significant. They came up out of the Jordan at that time. But it says there as well, they encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. Remember, we already looked at this. Those 12 stones, in verse 20, which they took out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. It's interesting that the word Gilgal itself, this is why we're looking at this, means a rolling, or a rolling away, or in certain contexts, a circle of stones. So it's interesting that a monument of 12 stones was built, put up as an altar, as a token, as a reminder, a memorial of the Lord's deliverance and what He did in bringing the children of Israel into that promised land. Are these just coincidences? See, as I went back and started studying this, prayerful about the next message, that struck me. Why Gilgal? What is the significance of Gilgal? So we're going to look at that in this message and in the one to come, because there's a lot here. But this is where they encamped. And last time in the message, we looked in Joshua 5 and verse 1. The Lord, having delivered Israel and brought them into this promised land, now prepared the way before them. We saw God's sovereignty exercised, where it says, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. The question is, who was doing the battle? Was it the children of Israel, or was it the Lord? Well, we know the battle is the Lord's, not only in the deliverance of His people, but in their establishing in this life and also in entering into that promised inheritance. So we read here again in Gilgal, verse 2, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Now, that doesn't mean that each male that had already been circumcised need to be circumcised again. That would be impossible. But there was an initial circumcision when Israel was brought out of the land of Egypt, but most of those perished in the desert. So now, at the beginning of this conquest of the land of Canaan, the Lord once again says, take every male and circumcise them. Now again, from a military standpoint, if you were just looking at it from the perspective of what was the best practice militarily, you would say this would not be a good time to circumcise the males. They're going to be laid up for a few days. They're in the face of the enemy. And if things don't go well, they could pretty much slaughter them while they're recovering. But isn't this the Lord's way of doing things? To completely humble, reduce man to nothing, and even in that moment of weakness, to withhold the enemy from even coming in to attack him. There's a lot here. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And we're talking about lots of men. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came up out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. The children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. Their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. It came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And that's the rest, even in the face of the enemy, the rest that there is in Christ. They abode. The Lord said unto Joshua, here's where the significance of the word or the place Gilgal, the rolling away. See, this is what caught my attention as I was reading. I had to go back and look at where it was mentioned, first of all, in Joshua 4, now here. Look at this significant, the significance of verse 9. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. What a transition, but all symbolic. So I want us to see the significance, just for a few moments, of this place called Gilgal. And I hope that what it does, by God's grace, is open our minds and hearts to just how important every word of Scripture is. There's not one word here that somehow does not point us to the person of Christ and to his finished work and what he accomplished. Here in Joshua chapter 4, at the end of chapter 4 and chapter 5, we have three specific events that the Lord purposed to take place here. And all three of these have a spiritual significance tied to the meaning of the word Gilgal, to roll away. The first, of course, we saw there in chapter 4 and verses 19 and 20. The waters rolled away. The Lord rolled away the waters that stood between Israel and this promised land. He removed the barrier. They were rolled away. And as a memorial 12 stones were removed from the middle of that river, the Jordan River, and placed as a monument here in this place called Gilgal. It's as if to say, don't forget to remember what the Lord has done. Such was the rolling away of that obstacle. I can't help but think about how the Lord Jesus Christ, and Joshua here is a type, the Ark of the Covenant going before the children of Israel, a type, picture how God has rolled away, if you will, every barrier, every obstacle that stood between us and what He has promised to His people in Christ, the promised land, representing all that He's promised. Victory, peace, rest. You see, that's what Canaan symbolizes. It's what we as the people of the Lord enjoy even in this life. It's not talking about in the sweet by and by, like you hear about it in some song. No, it's when they entered into that land, there was a very real conquering of that land. Joshua leading them forth, God having removed every barrier, rolled away the water, which would have meant death, and had it fallen back on and consumed them. But the Lord did it. So that's one event that we see. The second, clearly, is the circumcision. The flesh of circumcision removed. And as we read there in Joshua 5, symbolic of the reproach of Egypt being taken from off them through circumcision. This is why we need the scriptures, because if we read this, we would try to figure out, okay, what is the significance of this circumcision? Well, the Lord tells us it is the removal of the reproach of Egypt. Again, how was that done? Well, it was done through Joshua. It says there that the instruction was given to Joshua, and it says in verse 7, their children whom he raised up in their stead, that's a generation that the Lord raised up. What does it say? Them Joshua circumcised. So we have to see again in this, where was the reproach of Egypt taken off of each of us for whom Christ died? Well, it was in Christ. It was in the circumcision of his flesh. We're going to look at a verse a little bit here in Colossians that confirms that. When he died, we died. When he rose again, we rose again. And in that, the reproach of Egypt, what is Egypt? Well, it was a land of taskmasters, of works, of gathering their own bricks, of straw, building with hands. All of that reproach considered to be the condemnation that we inherited in Adam, done away, put away. And then thirdly, we see, of course, the Passover in Joshua 5 and verse 10. The children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover. There again was a rolling away. Was the Passover to do? Well, it was a covering for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So the shedding of blood was a type and picture of the rolling away, if you will, of our sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's a beautiful narrative that we have here, all built around the word Gilgal. Now, we've seen the significance of Gilgal. What I can tell you is, I've looked at this a little bit more, that Gilgal was the base for the rest of the conquest of the land of Canaan, north, south, east, west. All went forward from Gilgal. And I believe you can see the type there. any victory that we have in this world, any stage of blessing that the Lord gives us by way of rest and overcoming the enemy in this world, has as its departure our Gilgal, which is Calvary, is the cross, is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we go through Joshua, we'll see Gilgal again and again. Here in Joshua chapter 6, for example, and verse 11, it says, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city of Jericho, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Where was the camp? Well, the camp was Gilgal. So they went out, circled the city, came back into the camp. Gilgal represents that base. If you were to go to war, every army has a base from which it launches its attacks. Our base in going out into the world is not a denomination. It is not man's profession. It's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that place where He has laid the foundation. That foundation has been laid in Him. And so we go forth. And you see, this is what was continually done. Verse 14, the second day they compassed the city once and did what? Returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. We're never far removed from the cross. As we go forth into this world, the very gospel which the Lord has given us to preach is launched from this base. From this basis, like Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When you get to Joshua chapter 10, and it was a matter of starting the campaign toward the south, what they call the southern campaign. You can see there in verse 7, that Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men about. He ascended from Gilgal. Remember I said it's a type and picture of his work at the cross. Even as Joshua ascended from Gilgal to go forth and conquer, so Christ ascended from the cross and led captivity captive. There are a lot of parallels that we see here, even over in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. All the land west of Jordan. Notice it says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. This is where he was to be found. People talk about finding Christ. Even as some said, we would see Jesus. Where's he to be found? Well, he's to be found in that place, that foundation, which God has laid in his person and in his work. They came, children of Judah, unto Joshua and Gilgal. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord has said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. A particular mountain that Caleb had requested and that Moses had said that he could have. So he comes to Joshua to request permission to go take that mountain. But again, the whole point is that these were camped at Gilgal and from there went forth to conquer and to enter into the promised land, which I believe again speaks of entering into that inheritance that the Lord has promised for us even in this life and the joy of it. So the stones are significant. The circumcision, coming back here to Joshua chapter 5, circumcision, this is probably as far as I'll get. I want to come back to the Passover taking place there, but let's just for a few moments here consider the circumcision and the significance of the circumcision with regard to the removal, as it says there in verse 9, of the reproach of Egypt. I believe there's two lessons here for us to consider. The first is how it typifies the circumcision of the flesh, typified the removal, if you will, of all that pertains to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as Joshua circumcised these things, when you get into the New Testament, you'll find that the writer of the Hebrews refers to the law as carnal, fleshly. And so the removal of those things, the rolling away of those things, is a picture of that law being accomplished and done away. If you look at Romans chapter 6, and verse 11, what does it say? Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what circumcision does. It cuts away the flesh. And once that flesh has been cut away, it's dead. It's dead. Because of the work of Christ, that flesh being cut away, all that pertained to the law, has been circumcised and cut away and cast away. That's why Paul uses the allusion to a body. For example, in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When he uses the word sin here, and the body of sin being destroyed, he's talking about the very thing which condemns us by the law. That had to be cut away. That had to be done away. And so I see in that a parallel with the reproach of Egypt being removed, all that pertains to works and the flesh being done away. And when you look in Romans chapter 2, this is how the scriptures describe a true Jew. It's not the circumcision of the physical flesh, but as you read here in verse 28 of Romans 2, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. So when we come to the New Testament and look at this significance, there's a spiritual significance. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. In other words, there has been a change of heart, or as it says, in the spirit, and not in the letter referring to the law. We do not attempt to serve God through our obedience to the law. That's the foreskin that has been cut away. The Spirit of God has been pleased to reveal Christ in a heart. There's been a cutting away of that flesh. And it says here, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And when you look over here in Philippians chapter 3, these are all connected. See, there were those that would, again, take people back under the law, all the while saying, well, we preach Christ, but you still need to observe the law. What does Paul say here in Philippians chapter 3? Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, uses strong language here. Beware of evil workers. It's like any would be considered an evil worker that would have attempted to take Israel back into Egypt after the Lord had brought them out. Now, beware of the concision. That's an interesting word. It's a play on words in the original. Actually, it means the mutilation. These that would take you back into circumcision, physical circumcision, as some kind of means of gaining or maintaining salvation, they're mutilators, is the word that's used. And he says, for we are the circumcision. And notice the three qualities. What's the very first one? Which worship God in the Spirit. We're not to be put back under that law, the letter of the law. It only served to condemn. There was a rolling away of the reproach of Egypt. So there is with us. And secondly, to rejoice in Christ Jesus. He's our Joshua who accomplished these things. And thirdly, it says, and have no confidence in the flesh. That foreskin cut away and cast away on the hill of foreskin. That was a putrid pot that was dead. It was not to be lingered around. Oh, that we would see our own righteousness in that same vein. That's nothing but filthy rags. Why would you hang around it? It's done. It's cut away. It's gone. It serves absolutely no purpose to give us any kind of standing before God. All right? So I believe that this is what this represents in the removing, Gilgal, the rolling away of those laws and obligations and things that could only condemn. But secondly, as I mentioned earlier, it's a picture of the circumcision of the flesh which Christ accomplished. Now, look over here in Colossians chapter 2. There's a lot here, and may the Lord grant us wisdom. We can see in verse 8, Colossians 2, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of God in bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands. Notice, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, does that mean when he was circumcised the eighth day that the body of the sins of the flesh were put off? You can see the word put off, rolled away. No, we know better. There was blood shed, but that would not satisfy a holy God when Christ was circumcised as a baby. If you read on, you'll see that his death at the cross is described as a circumcision of the flesh. In other words, through his death, the cutting away of that body of sins. Were they his sins? No. He was a perfect lamb of God. But the sins of his people. The iniquity of us all that was laid upon him. And his death, just like in the circumcision, the cutting away of the flesh and the casting away of that flesh. Christ bore the sin of his people unto death. And it was put away. Cast away. And that's what the rest of this says. Buried with him in baptism. Now again, be careful. His death was called a baptism. This is not talking about water baptism here. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. The context is his death, his death, his death, his death, burial, and resurrection. When he died, there was a whole Israel that died with him. When he rose again, there was a whole Israel that rose again with him. Just like we see pictured there in Joshua. That people brought through the water, established there in Gilgal, and the consecration, if you will, through that circumcision was a testimony to the work that had been accomplished on their behalf. And it says in verse 13, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, notice, hath he quickened together with him. When did that happen? Well, when he rose. Having forgiven you all trespasses once for all. So that's what this memorialized, as Israel was brought through the Jordan. Picture of, if you will, their resurrection in Christ. And that circumcision of the flesh, a consecration unto the Lord of this people that had been delivered. Like I said, there's a lot there. I would just encourage you to prayerfully consider these things even further. And may the Lord grant us wisdom to see Christ in all of this. Our Gilgal. Our Gilgal.